James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4. I want to read verse number 17. And I do encourage you and hope you will pray throughout this service that God would help us on top of all the physical and natural nervousness and stress that you feel preaching. On top of all that, you face many other things in the ministry that if God doesn't help you, you can't preach. Last night, we just felt the tremendous burden of relating a glorious thought that we looked at, how that Jesus Christ won in the crisis of the world. Tonight, we just feel more of a struggle with the devil, I think, fighting against our thoughts and the message the Lord's given us. So we do need your prayers. Here in James 4, I want to read verse number 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to preach by the grace of God and the help of God on the sin of disobedience. The sin of disobedience. Verse 17 here tells us that if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. And I believe included in this statement, we can also say to them that know to do good and do something else, it is sin. We're living in a day and time where disobedience is not seen as something serious. Society scoffs at the fact of or the sin of disobedience. This great country of ours is so used to its freedom, it's became spoiled. And we actually think as Americans we have the right to disobey. We have the right to disobey laws. We have the right to disobey and disrespect our government. We have the right to disobey and disrespect our parents. We have the right to disobey and disrespect our churches. We have the right to disobey and disrespect our pastors. It's like we have no respect at all for rules and laws and regulations and expectations. To those that know to do good and do not, it is not choice. It is not a right. It is not a freedom. It is sin. Disobedience and disrespect are at all time highs in our society. And because of that, they're at an all-time high in our New Testament Baptist churches. Disobedience in God's people is a shameful thing. And disobedience in Baptist churches, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is even a more shameful thing. And I fear the lack of revival and the lack of saving of souls and the lack of the feeling of God's presence has much to do with the disobedience that is filling our pews in our churches. We want to disobey God all week long and come into the house of the Lord and feel His presence. We want to disobey and disregard the Word of God and the law of God and the standards of God in every area of our life, and then come to church and say, now let's see what God's going to do. He does exactly what we deserve, nothing, because of disobedience amongst His people. I want to ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And my message this evening is going to focus primarily upon you and I as members of New Testament Baptist churches. The things we're going to be looking at are for us as God's people. For the saved and those who are saved and added to Baptist churches, disobedience ought to trouble us. Disobedience should disturb us. We've grown so accustomed and so comfortable with sin that sometimes I wonder if we even know what disobedience is. I want to look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. At the end of Saul's life, first king of Israel, a man who disobeyed God and paid the consequence for his disobedience. I want to read verse 13 and 14 for our text. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Here we read about the sad end of King Saul's life. It says he died for his transgression. He died because of his disobedience. And I want you to notice three things for our thoughts this evening about the act of disobedience. Again, talking to us as God's people, as members of Baptist churches, I want you to notice three things about Saul's act of disobedience. I want you to notice, first of all, that it was an act against God. Second of all, I want you to notice that it was an act against the Word of God. And third of all, I want us to notice that it was an act against the man of God. All three of these things were a part of Saul's disobedience. Here in verse number 13, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. He had disobeyed God, and that disobedience was an act against God. It was an act that said he didn't care what God said. It was an act that said he didn't care what God thought. It was an act that showed disregard for what God had said. It was an act that said, I don't believe God means what He says. I mentioned this Sunday when we were preaching, and I mentioned it again tonight. When we sin and when we disobey, let us be reminded tonight that we're sinning against a holy, righteous God. A God that sits upon the throne of the universe, that holds the beat of our heart in His hand, that provides for us every breath of air we breathe. And it's not only a sin against the Creator and the Sustainer of this universe, but it's a sin and it's an act of disobedience against the One who sent His Son to die for us. In actuality, who came Himself in the body of Jesus Christ for us. Don't trivialize disobedience by forgetting disobedience spiritually is an act against God. When Joseph was tempted there in Genesis 39, he basically said, how can I do this thing against my God? It's bad enough that we sin and we sin against our church. It's bad enough that we sin and we sin against fellow church members and Christians. It's bad enough that we sin against our mates and we sin against our children and we sin against our homes. But worse than everything, when we sin and disobey, we sin against God. That ought to tear us up if we're really saved. That ought to tear us up if we have the Spirit of God within us. That little act of disobedience isn't little because it's against a big God who has done so much for us. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel the 15th chapter. Here we have the story or the record of Saul's disobedience. Samuel comes on the scene and calls him on the carpet for his act of disobedience. Verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Put yourself in Saul's shoes. When you were nothing, when I was nothing, when we were hell bound, hell deserving sinners, when we didn't deserve even a look at God or much less a look at the Savior Jesus Christ, when we were nothing, God saved our souls, brought us to His Son. Samuel says, when you were nothing, didn't God do wonderful things for you? Remember the day you were saved? Wasn't it a wonderful thing that God did for you? The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. We weren't sent against the Amalekites, but when the Lord saved us, He gave us some instructions, some expectations, some basic commands He expects out of all His people. Marching orders, if you would. Saul's response in verse 20 was, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. We're quick to do that. Oh, I'm a good Christian. I obey God. I don't disobey Him. Well, let's take a little bit closer look. Are we not many times like Saul, quick to say, oh yes, we obey God, but if we really look under the carpets, we find a whole lot of ways we disobey Him. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He acknowledges in verse 21 disobedience. He just tries to blame it on someone else. Don't we do the same thing? It's never our fault, is it? Never our responsibility. It's always someone else we can blame. But look at verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What does God really want? Sacrifices or obedience? Which delights God most? Saul is asked. The answer was obedience. Just obey God. And when we disobey, let us be reminded that it's disobedience against a holy God who, if we can do anything in this life, we ought to want to obey Him. Not disobey Him. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, Folks, it is God that we disobey. It is God that we sin against. And it is God who is going to hold us accountable. And it is God who is going to judge us. It is God who is judging us even now because of disobedience. But then look back there at our text of 1 Chronicles. Notice, not only was it an act against the Lord or an act against God, but it was an act against the Word of God. It was an act against the Word of the Lord. Look at verse number 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the Word of the Lord. When we disobey, we're acting against God, but we're also acting against the Word of God. This book we stick under our arm and we walk in and out of church with, this book we keep sitting on the dashboard of our car, this book that we have sitting around our home, this book that we have two or three copies to, we talk about it being the Word of God, we talk about it being the standard of our faith. We talk about how everything we believe rests upon this book. Oh, this book is precious. We sing about it. It's inspired. It's perfect. But when we disobey, folks, we're disobeying what? The Word of God. We're sinning against the book we say is our foundation. If the foundation's destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? We're too comfortable with the book. And we forget that out of this book, we're going to be judged for everything we do during the life God has given us as Christians. Our rewards, our crowns, all going to be judged according to the things written in this book. The lost are going to be judged out of the pages of this book. Lost friend, one day the book's going to be opened. God's going to pronounce you guilty based upon what's written right here. You say you don't need Jesus Christ? The Bible says you do. You say you don't need the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible says without it, you're not redeemed. You don't need the gospel? You don't need salvation? You don't need none of this religious mumbo-jumbo? Bible says you do. You better listen to the book, lost friend, tonight. The book says you're a sinner. You need to repent and believe. But disobedience is an act against the book. The very foundation of what we stand upon and rest upon as God's people. Look back to 1 Samuel again. Chapter 15. Read verse number 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Isn't this a sobering statement? Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What does God think about rebellious people of any age? What does God equate the sin of rebellion with? He equates the sin of rebellion with witchcraft. Rebellion against any authority is seen as witchcraft and is labeled as that great of a sin before God. Our society is filled with rebellion. From the very youngest of children all the way up to all ages. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is as serious a sin as idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see what verse number 23 says here? Saul, you have sinned against the word of the Lord. You have rejected the word of God. Your act of disobedience was against God, first of all, but was also an act against the Word of God. It's offensive and it's a stench in the nostril of God, and it destroys and undermines the Word of God. we live in disobedience, we're attacking the very book that teaches us and brings us to salvation in Jesus Christ. The book that God used through His Spirit to bring us to salvation is the book we're sinning against when we disobey God. And also in 2 Timothy 4, the second verse, after telling Paul that God is going to judge the quick and the dead in Jesus Christ, he said in verse 2, preach the word. Preach the book. When people disobey and they live in sin, they're disobeying and they're sinning against the word of God. But then I want you to go back to our text. And third of all tonight, I want us to notice that the act of disobedience is also an act against the man of God. This is going on a lot in Baptist churches. There's a great amount of disobedience and rebellion against the pastors and the preachers that God places over His flocks. And people think it a very light thing. They think they can live in disobedience to what the pastor preaches and it's not a big deal with God. Let me tell you, it's a big deal with God. If your pastor is preaching the book, and your pastor is preaching under the leadership of the Lord, and you live in disobedience to what he is preaching, it's a big deal with God. And he holds you accountable. Here in our text, it says, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. What was Saul's sin? In the last part of this verse, instead of going to Samuel, instead of going to the man of God, he bypassed the man of God and he went to a spiritual advisor, he went to a soothsayer, to a fortune teller. And we have Baptists doing that all the time. They don't like what the preacher preaches. They don't like him because he's an old fuddy-duddy, because he preaches all those old standards, and he talks about godly living and all the do's and the don'ts, and they say, well, I just won't listen to him anymore. I'll go find somebody who will tell it like I want to hear it. It's an act of disobedience that is against God, that is against His Word, and that is against the man of God. This man or any man that stands and is placed in a pulpit of one of the Lord's churches is anointed of the Lord to speak for the Lord. And that carries as much authority and as much weight as anything else you're going to hear in this world. He bypassed the man of God and he inquired of a woman with a familiar spirit. He said, I'll bypass the preacher. Tell you what, you can't bypass the man God has placed over you and go unscathed and unresponsible before God. Acts of disobedience are against a holy, righteous God. They're against this book. And when the preacher preaches the truth to you and you live in disobedience of that, it is a sin and it's an act against the man God has placed there. And we don't hear enough preaching about how preachers ought to be respected and how they ought to be prayed for and how they ought to be seen as God's mouthpieces. They had the prophets in the Old Testament, New Testament times, and in days we're living now, we have pastors. God said in Jeremiah, I'll give you pastors that'll feed you with wisdom and knowledge. People think they can handle the pastor any way they want to. They think they can talk about the pastor any way they want to, and it's not a big deal. Tell you what, when you start messing with God's anointed, it's as big a deal as you are ever going to find yourself in. And I believe with all my heart the majority of folks who go to Home Baptist Church love and respect their pastor. But I tell you what, in every church you're going to find those who wrestle and fight and resist everything a pastor preaches and teaches. All the while talking about how much they love the Lord. Man of God gets up and preaches to you and you go home all mad. Go ahead and preach, Brother Tyson. I'm not going to do that. That act is an act of disobedience. God is speaking to you through a pastor. You'd better listen to him if he's got the book behind him. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel, the 15th chapter again. I want to show this to you in the 24th verse now. After all of these statements of disobedience, Saul responds in verse 24, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord." Notice those next three words. Saul is talking to Samuel. "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words." He had transgressed the words that Samuel had instructed him and had taught him and had preached to him. And when God teaches us and God impresses things upon our hearts from this book, and we live in disobedience to that, I don't care how little and minute it might be to not coming to church on Sunday or not tithing or lying or cheating or whatever it might be, immorality, whatever it is, when we perform acts of disobedience, it's against the God who sits upon the throne of this universe. And we're basically saying, "I don't respect you, I don't fear you, I don't believe you." Folks, I am scared to death to sin because of the consequence of sin. And I pray I never lose that. God is love, and I love God, and I know God loves me. But folks, there's still a consequence to disobedience. And when I sin and disobey, I'm disobeying God. And God still can strike people dead. God can still bring us to our knees. God can still bring us flat on our backs where we've got nowhere to look up. Acts of disobedience against a thrice holy God do not go unrecorded. Sin may go unpunished for a while, but you're going to reap what you sow eventually. Don't ever get away from that. When you sin and you perform acts of disobedience, it's against God. That ought to scare us. And if you're not scared to sin against God, there's something wrong spiritually. When we disobey, it's an act against the Word of God. It's a destructive act against the very book that we hold so dear. But it's also an act against the man of God. "I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, I have transgressed thy words." If we find ourselves in this condition, the way to get right is first of all to go to God. Ask God for mercy and ask God to forgive us. And then to go back to the book and live by it. And be a witness about it and a witness to it. And to go to our church, if needs be, to go to our pastors. Say, "Pastor, you preached the truth, but I didn't live it. You warned me, but I didn't heed it." Look at 1 Samuel 28. Verse 7. Here's the recorded sin of Saul. Then Saul said unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. He bypassed the man of God. Went to get his message somewhere else. You know how many times we find the New Testament warnings about those in the last days? 1 Timothy 4 tells us, The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Time will come, in verse 3, that when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. We're living in the day and time that these verses are talking about. People are running from the truth. They're running from preachers who preach the truth. That's just your way of seeing it. That's just your opinion. That's just your conviction. I won't do that. I'll go find someone who'll tell me different. God's people don't go find somebody who'll tell them different. God's people listen. They try the spirits. What our preacher telling us, is it in the book? Yeah, it sure is. God's people say, well, I better do it. I'd better appreciate a pastor who preaches it to me. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember, take heed to your pastor. He has the rule over you and the authority over you because God has given that to him. And it is the greatest responsibility and burden a human being will ever experience. And he preaches unto you the word of God because it's his duty, but more importantly, he preaches the word of God to you because he loves you, because he cares about you, and because he knows the consequences of disobedience. Your pastor isn't hard. Your pastor has convictions that he knows are found in the book of God. And he's lived long enough and he's pastored long enough to tell you that when you live in disobedience, the consequences can be far greater than you can ever imagine. You can reap a whirlwind. You may do a little sowing of disobedience, and he has lived long enough to be able to know that the destruction that may come in its wake is grievous. Verse 17, Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's a hard responsibility to have. When you go to the doctor and you've got a cancer eating you up, or you're playing with something that can cause cancer, do you want the doctor to tell you, all is well? Don't worry about anything, or do you want them to tell you the truth? You want a pastor to tell you smooth things and easy things, or do you want a pastor that's going to preach the Word of God, irregardless of popularity and political correctness? Do you want a preacher who cares enough for your soul to tell it like it is? Saul didn't think that much of Samuel. Obviously, he went around him. God help Baptists in this day and age to heed and to submit to the men God places over them and to listen and to obey the word that they preach. Watch for your souls. They must give an account. One day your pastor is going to stand before the Lord, and when your name comes up, may it be a record he's able to give with great joy. And may it not be a grievous record that he has to give. When your name comes up, may your pastor smile and say, "Yes, that dear brother was profitable unto me, was profitable unto the work of the Lord. That dear sister was faithful. That dear sister was there every service. That dear sister loved the Lord. That dear sister was profitable." "Oh, yes, I remember that young man. I remember that young lady that was under me in the church there, and they were a godly young man. They were a godly young person. Yes, I remember when that little boy was saved and that little girl was saved, and yes, they gave real evidence, the Spirit of God." Acts of disobedience are serious things. Talking in the context of the Lord's church, our acts of disobedience are first of all against God. They're against the book that we say is the foundation of everything, including our salvation that we believe. And it is an act against the man of God who preaches it. And we can expect the blessings of God if we're performing acts of disobedience? No, we can't. We must constantly examine ourselves. Am I obedient to God? Am I obedient to His Word? Do I heed the warnings that the pastor preaches? Because I want you to go back to our text, and then we'll close here. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord and against the Word, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. You know that Saul's disobedience cost him greatly. By being disobedient to God, by being disobedient to the Word of God, by being disobedient to the man of God, Saul lost everything. God had taken him when he was nothing, made him the very first king of Israel, exalted him to that great place of honor. And because of his disobedience, he lost the kingdom. His family was ruined. His family didn't get to inherit the throne. God gave it to David. He dishonored the Lord. He died. You know, we're afraid to preach about the consequences of sin because all the world wants to hear is God is love. But you better read the book, folks. God is a perfect, balanced being, and He's a God of love, but He's also a God of justice. He's also a God of wrath. He is a God who, when He says something, expects it to be carried out. He is a God who says when it's not carried out, this will be the consequence. And He's a God who is so perfect that He carries out the consequence. And to be living a life of disobedience against God, against His Word, against the man of God that stands up Sunday after Sunday and preaches, is to raise your fist in the hand of God and say, "Let's see if you're going to do it." Oh, we wouldn't say that right out, but that's what we're saying when we disobey. God help us to realize how destructive acts of disobedience are. Folks, I haven't been in the ministry for about 23 years. Not near as long as this man that sits up here. But I've been in the ministry long enough to see the consequences of those who say, "I'll not obey God," who say, "I'll not obey God's word," who say, "I'll not obey the preacher. I'm going to get away from it. I'm going to do my own way. I'm going to do my own thing." I've seen enough to tell you God means exactly what He says. You can talk to people who have been there And they'll testify, don't play with disobedience. If you're here tonight and you're living in disobedience, I'm not going to stand up here and list a bunch of sins. I'm not going to try to stand up here and hit what your problem is. But if you're here and you're living in disobedience, it's an act against God. It's an act against His Word. It's an act against the man of God who gets up here and preaches the Word to you. And to live in disobedience is to tempt God. And God will not be tempted and hold us guiltless. There's a consequence to sin. You might find yourself rejected. You might find your family ruined. You might find your health ruined. You might find yourself dead. Ananias and Sapphira did, didn't they? Has God changed? They lied to the Holy Spirit, and what was the consequence? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read this real quickly. 1 Corinthians 11. Context of the Lord's Supper here, and telling us to examine ourselves before observing it and not eating and drinking of the Lord's body unworthily. He says in verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Because of disobedience, we have many weak Christians, many sickly Christians, many spiritually dead Christians. Tell you what, sin is nothing to be played with or toyed with. God help us tonight. If we can say, at this moment, we're living in obedience to Him, God help us to pray, God, don't let me ever fall into disobedience. God keep me. God spare me. If you're here and you're living in disobedience, come back to God before the consequence of that disobedience becomes worse and worse and worse. Get back at the center of God's will. Get back at the center of God's Word before the consequences are greater and your life is ruined forever. Get back and stay the consequences. If you disobeyed and the consequences have already come, run to God and say, God, forgive me. Don't let me stray again. Understand the seriousness of this sin. If you're here and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest act of disobedience you can perform is not to obey the gospel. See, the gospel is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. But it is a message that needs to be obeyed. The gospel message says all have sinned. The gospel message says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here and you're lost and you say, I'll not obey it, that's the greatest act of disobedience you can perform. And it means you're willing to walk out of this building and risk, humanly speaking, you're willing to walk out of this building and risk dying, not right with God. Don't disobey the gospel, obey it. God help us. Thank you.